Welcome to the International Trade Resource Podcast. We have a great discussion today with Ervis Mikukai about how to set up, protect, and audit international data networks, as well as file sharing in countries like China with strict data laws. Let's thank two of our sponsors, Modify Trade Payments and Acclime China CPA Firm, for their support.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the International Trade Resources Podcast. And we're super excited today to have the topic of business data protection across borders. Our guest today, Ervis Mikukai with Jet Services. We met through an organization of expats that live in China, typically do business in China. And so he came to my attention and I thought, what a great guest to have on the podcast to talk about data protection, because those of us who do business in China specifically or across borders understand that transferring files, transferring company intellectual property data, having foreign employees access your home servers can be very risky. And so we wanted to invite him onto the show today to talk about some of those subjects. So thank you very much for joining us, Ervis. I appreciate having you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I would like to start out with some of the situations where business networks can be at risk, including things that maybe people don't think about, right? So what are the most common threats to sharing company information and data with either employees that are housed in another country or with partners, customers, suppliers? What are some of the risks that occur in those situations?
The first issue that I see quite often happening here in China is that a lot of employees and employers actually are not aware of the legal requirements. So simple fact, having enough contracts to cover all their liabilities, ask for permissions from the users. Second thing I see quite often is the decision that the IT or the CFO or the CEO or the CIO has to make when it comes down to China. Because when it comes down to the mainland of China, there are two options that pretty much all the companies, all the global players that are operating here go through. One is to separate the China network from the global network, as in the China network may have or not the same standards or the same software or so on, but it's separated from the global network. So they are basically two different entities. And by doing this, you need to comply with all the local rules. You need to make sure everything is responding to the requirements of the various provinces, legal entities, and so on. And the other one is how to keep the two entities in the same network. But when this happens is that, as we were mentioning the point number one, are employees aware that all their data will be transferred? If the data are transferred, are the data safe? Are they following the requirements of the new data protection rules? I know one of the previous episodes, you had an American lawyer based in China. I'm not going to make advertisement, but go and follow him and read his listen to his podcast, because I like him in person, but I'm not going to make advertisements. So the first point is how to decide the legal aspects. And the second point is like, how are the companies, once they decide if they're going to have local entities separate from the global and local entities within the global network, because once you make this choice, then we'll bring further issues. For example, if you have everything local and everything is separated from the global network, who is in charge? Who is the decision maker? Are the users owning their data, or are they giving everything to the company? What kind of solutions is the company setting up? Are these solutions, for example, if it's a global entity listed on the global one of the stock exchanges, are they going to set up any rules to transfer the information, as we mentioned before, or not? And if they don't transfer the information, are they actually the same company? Now, if it's a different one, I'm not sure if I can talk about global entities that are on the stock and I know of. Is it possible to talk? No? Yes? You tell me.
Yeah, I think if you mention a public company that the information is public knowledge, then sure, we can talk about that.
Usually larger companies in the realm of the Fortune 500, they can pursue one easy solution, which is to have a local JV partner. So they will have a joint venture with a Chinese entity, usually will be a state-owned entity. By doing this, they will actually simplify a lot the process, because the JV partner will be able to carry on the requirements, will be able to make the application, and will be able to, most of the times, satisfy all the demands from the national regulators, provincial level regulators, and town or city level regulators, because they have the connections. They are actually state owned as well. So for them, going through these filings, applications will be much easier. This is a solution that big American companies, for example, listed companies, follow quite often, because they focus more on the...
So what about if your company's not that size? Because you just talked about multiple government layers of regulation. Mm-hmm. So if your company's, if you don't have a joint venture partner, but you have a factory in China or a trading company in China, do you still have to go through all those layers of approval? And for what kind of data is that required?
So the easiest thing for any company that is entering China is to make sure that they are all compliant in terms of legal registrations. So one step that a lot of companies miss is once they have the legal entity. So once they are registered in one of the districts of the city wherever they will be based, is to apply for an ICP, which is an internet content provider, because that allows them to have a website or WeChat accounts, public WeChat accounts, or to apply for apps or mini programs in China. There are alternatives. You can pay someone else. You can buy a license, but it's complicated. You never know who is actually owning these. You may have some issues down the road. So I always recommend companies to have everything under their name if it's possible. And then if they see the China market as their entity, as their a place where they can actually develop further. Second point will be to have very good suppliers in terms of legal entities, legal providers, professional services. One rule of thumb I tell my customers or associates of mine is to have a company that has two strong arms, a strong Chinese arm that can understand and can fulfill all the local requirements, and a strong international arm, whether it's Chinese people who were either raised or born outside of China, so they understand how the global entity or what the global entity wants to achieve, or foreigners, preferably from their own country. We know we live in a global society, but sometimes it's much easier to talk to someone who speaks your language or speaks your culture.
So I think that's a great point. So what I hear you saying is that the company needs to look, and you've said this a few different ways, right? But it's kind of the same message, I think. The company needs to identify a Chinese solution for their data. And with that comes who has the authority to manage that, who has access over the data that's held in China, who has the authority. So we're kind of talking around one of the topics I think that's interesting, which is China's cloud data that's stored on the cloud and the rules around that. So, you know, and I think that's something I'd like you to talk a little bit more about.
Yes, this is actually one of the most interesting points happening the last 3-5 years. The Chinese government has been pushing for some political, economical, social reasons, they've been asking, especially their local companies, to protect their data. Fun fact, when I registered my company at the Chinese bank, 1 hour later, I received a phone call from an accountant asking me if I wanted to use their services. 1 hour after I left the bank. So protection of data of users in China a few years ago was not important, was not a priority, no matter you were Chinese company or foreign company. So the government started pushing this protection. It went on certain aspects. It may have gone a bit overboard because of the requirements, because they were very stringent, not at the level of the GDPR, European GDPR, but they were finally asking companies to protect their data, first to understand which data they owned, which was very unclear in the past. Second, to set up permissions for these companies to process the data. Because before, companies, or especially social media, would basically push you to accept any kind of a requirement from their side to use their apps. You want to go from point A to point B on a map, they would ask you to have access to all your pictures, which doesn't make any sense. And then they would start actually asking these companies to set up protections, because before the companies were actually not giving so much of a, I'm trying to find a polite way to say it, but I cannot. They couldn't care less about the data protection.
So what you're talking about is the PIPL, which is similar to the regulations in Europe on data protection. In the U.S., it has not been provided to protect consumer data. California, which tends to be our leader in strong laws on most things as a state, has a more strict protection, consumer data protection law. So yes, absolutely. I think that's something many foreign businesses and executives don't understand, and is the China's data protection law. And one of the things I would add, and then I want to ask you a follow-up question, is that you don't have to have a company in China to be subject to the data protection law. You only have to have data that's being transferred between wherever you are and China, the customer data, employee data, and you have to be compliant with that. And the same in Europe. So if someone's accessing your website and sharing their personal information to register on your website, and that person lives in China, then you need to be compliant with that regulation. And I think that's something people don't understand. But you were tying this to also the cloud. So China's regulations that any data that's saved to the cloud has to be a China-based cloud, and that's part of this data revolution, let's call it, in China the last 3 to 5 years. Is that your opinion?
Yes. One thing I understand is that the government wants their Chinese companies, Chinese IT companies, to have more business, because this requires the global entities to spend more money in protection of data of Chinese users. So they cannot transfer all the data and use the data and process the data outside of China, but they need to do it in China. So this brings more investments. Apple invested $1 billion in the data centers in Guizhou. That's one thing. The second thing is that the government wants to... they say they want to protect their own country people, which is understandable, because before no one was protecting them. And third, they want to make sure that they need you to be aware there are certain local rules, because before global entities were operating like, well, we transfer everything outside of China, so we don't care. So this is a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. So maybe it's gone a bit too far. So now they're trying to find a bit of a middle ground.
It's interesting how you frame that because it's very similar to intellectual property. China passed a law a number of years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I think, that also tried to keep the ownership of intellectual property created in China should be owned by the Chinese entity, because foreign companies were doing the same thing. They were using their Chinese teams to create new technology, and then the ownership of that technology would exist outside of China. So you're saying it's the same thing with data and information, that China wants it to be, if it's going to be generated in China, it should be held in China or housed in China. And even the cloud data should be housed in China. So that's, I think that's really, you know, interesting way to look at it.
Yes. I agree with your analysis. And of course, there's also the when I said they want the global companies to invest, this actually can be the harbinger for the Chinese entities to process more data and to improve their skills, whether it's machine learning, whether it's artificial intelligence, because they will need to process. They cannot do it only with a manual labor, but they actually need to develop software, better software, to manage these solutions. And there are plenty of global, I wouldn't say big global companies, but mid-sized companies who are developing a lot of advanced solutions, especially in manufacturing, that are being developed in China. And then these companies are taking these solutions on a global basis. Looking at the mid-sized German companies who have been growing by leaps and bounds in China. And then because they have more capacity here, they need to have more advanced technologically advanced solutions, so they can actually transplant in Southeast Asia, or they can take them back to Germany or to Europe or to Italy or US.
I think, yeah, that's really interesting because we're seeing a lot in the West, in Europe, in the US, we're seeing a lot more news and conversation around how China has become such a innovator in technology and data protection, data collection, transfer. So I think that's let's use that to kind of segue into our next topic. So I think what's one point I'd like people to be aware of that you've brought up is that the what's available in China and what's happening in China around technology and data can be very different from what's happening in your own country. So assuming that the technology is the same, that the threats are the same, that the solution is the same, would be a mistake. So could you tell us what are some of the top 3, 4, 5 things that you usually, because you also audit,
yes,
IT systems and IT security, what are 3 or 4 or 5 things that you look at to make sure that the sharing of data, the storage of data, the ownership is correct for your clients?
So the first thing we do for our customers is that we go and check their company network. We look at how they manage their data, who has access to their data, how they transfer the data, where the data go, whether it's they stay within China, they go to some cloud providers, or they are transferred from China to their global entities. And whenever they do that, we ask certain questions, but then it's up to them to answer, because they are the ones who need to understand this better. Of these vendors who are managing their data outside of China, if they have entities in China, or if they don't, so that they can actually be compliant with the legal requirements from China, or if they don't have, who are they using as a vendor for them to be compliant? Because a lot of companies, fun fact, some companies transfer a lot of data between China and outside of China, and then their vendors are still with information of the past, and they say, yeah, you can do whatever, you can transfer all your data from China to outside of China because we're good. I'm like, what does it mean to be good? Are you compliant? Are you following the IPL? Are you protecting the data? Are you asking for the consent? And a lot more questions that lawyers will be able to answer more specifically. And when I ask these questions, I share these questions to the CTO, IT director, CIO. Usually they
haven't considered it. Yeah, they haven't considered it. I think too often Western, you know, companies are typically management in Western companies are in their 50s and 60s. And so their view of China is 20 years ago.
Yes.
It was the wild, wild west, and you could, there were less regulations. The government wasn't requiring foreign companies to be as compliant to the regulations that existed. And that's changed dramatically. And so many people underestimate, how many regulations there are that the government can, that they are enforcing those regulations. So this, I think much of what we're talking about is applicable in many international cross-border
Yes.
situations, not just in China. So you mentioned data protection laws, authority, access, storage. So from a practical standpoint, if I was the owner of a $100 million business, you know, in France, and I had a trading company in China, what are a couple of questions I should ask my team to judge whether or not we were compliant or not?
So first, I would like to understand who's in charge of my network. Quite often, I found out that actually the network was on paper under the name of the company, but the reality was under the name of the IT company, or was under the name of one of the managers or ex-managers of the company or the ex-IT person in the company. Second thing would be like, what kind of procedures has the company implemented to protect their company, to protect their data, to protect their employees? As in understanding where their supply chain of their supply chain vendors, who is actually compliant, who is not, how are they managing their data, and then third point is employees. Are they training employees? Are they asking for all the consent? Which is a question that keeps popping up quite often, but it's not actually implemented. Are employees aware of the regulations from the government? Because a lot of times they send, if they do trainings, sometimes there are like wishy-washy trainings, or they don't actually do the trainings, but they just send them like half an hour or a PPT and say like, read it, tell me you read it, and say, confirm you're good with that. And then fourth, if the company has professional vendors who go and review the company on a quarterly basis, half a year basis, at least a year basis, on how they're compliant in terms of legal perspective, IT, and who is managing and who is responsible, legally responsible, and financially responsible for the company. Because I find a lot of times it's not happening. Of course, we don't get into the joke situations where the company starts fighting, the global entity starts fighting with the local entity, the vendors keep hostage the company. Certain wild, wild west situations are still happening.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned that sometimes the Chinese employees are themselves not aware of the regulations. And I've seen that. I have a client that last year when the PIPL was enforced, really, you know, came out, I told the company, you need to make sure that in your employee manual or in a separate form, the employees are authorizing you to share data, because you're gonna send even an Excel, for example, an Excel spreadsheet with all the employees' names and salaries that talks about what raise are we going to give them this year or what kind of Chinese New Year bonus. That falls under the PIPL. And so you need the Chinese and the HR person and the general manager at this plant in Xiamen, it's in Xiamen, this plant, they said, what law are you talking about? That doesn't apply to us. And what's funny though is that they had a new general manager, and you know how this can happen. And Chinese corporations tend to be very hierarchical, where the senior manager is like the king and he can do what he wants. And the U.S. company was trying to put more controls and procedures over all of that. So then we were asking him for information about wages. And he said, oh, I can't share them with you because of the PIPL. So at first he didn't know what it was and he didn't think they needed to comply to it. But then when we wanted the data, he used it as a reason why he couldn't share the data. So it's really funny how that switched so quickly. But so I think it's very interesting. So let's talk about another hot topic, the use of VPNs in China. Right. So, and the company can have its own VPN, like a larger corporation. You can use a third party VPN. If you want to access foreign sites or if you want to protect your data, you typically use a VPN. So let's tell me about how VPNs are being, what's a good use of a VPN? What are the regulations around VPNs in China right now?
Okay. This is not legal advice. I need to preface this.
Okay, yes, not a business, right?
Yes. I don't want to be held accountable for this. I'm not a lawyer. Please refer to a lawyer. Previous episode again. The advice here for a VPN, I mean, VPN at the end of the day is a virtual private network, which allows various people or various entities to access to a network, which is controlled by the IT team. It can be used to access data across countries. One employee who's outside of the office wants to access safely to a company network will have to access through a VPN. Can be cloud, can be physical, can be software-based. There are various options. I will try to address the various points you asked me one by one. Commercial VPNs in China, commercialization of these VPNs is illegal. I've read multiple news about Chinese people who got arrested for selling them. So this is against the local rules. It is not against the rules to have a VPN. It is against the rules to provide a VPN to Chinese employees to have free access to the internet, because China is their, they make the rules for their own country. So they have decided that certain information is not correct. So they will block that information. So if you as a company provide VPN to certain websites outside of China, then you may have some issues. You may be checked for not being compliant. Again, please talk to your legal advisor or paralegal. But if your company is part of a global network and you want to give access to your employees through a VPN, maybe like a FortiGate VPN, maybe a Cisco VPN, you name it, to have access to your global data center, which is in Ireland, US, East Coast, West Coast, Central, wherever it may be, Australia, Singapore, that is legal. As far as this VPN, it is for business purposes, and it is for the company to have access to the Chinese employees to have access to the global network of which company they belong. But this has to be strictly for business purposes, and it has to be strictly to data that the company owns, and it is strictly for carrying on business. So if you step on aspects that the Chinese government deems not legal, then you're putting yourself in at a crosshair.
Yeah, it's a great way to explain it to people. You know, that if the purpose of your VPN is company data sharing, and it's done regularly around the world with all of your employees, then that's defensible. So in terms of VPN and network services, I've run into, there's the European providers, there's the Chinese providers. Are there benefits to using the Chinese providers? Let's talk about that a little bit more.
Whenever companies have to operate in China, they have, as you said, two options, a global one, but the last mile will still be implemented by a Chinese vendor, or they can use one of the top three. My recommendation is to use one of the top three SOE IP ISP companies: China Telecom, China Unicom, and China Mobile, in whatever order is available in the area, because these three are the preferred. As a first point, is that they are the biggest three VPN vendors in China. They like to call themselves as internet providers or global internet solution providers. To make it silly easy, they provide also VPNs, because they provide global connectivity solutions. So whenever you as a global player have global entities and have teams in China, if you want to be fully compliant, the easiest solution is to reach out to Telecom, China CTA, I know, because I've seen them operating, China Telecom America, CMI, China Mobile International, and China Unicom. I forgot their global entity.
Let me stop you a second for listeners.
Yes.
What he's talking about are Chinese telecom companies that have offices and staff in the US and Europe. I was speaking at a conference in Dallas. And one of the guys at my table was with China Telecom America. Hmm. So these are resources you can liaison with locally in Europe or the United States that can help you provide those services between your local offices and your Chinese offices. And to Irvis's point, you'll be then more compliant, you know. And I think you wanted to talk too a little bit about, you know, how that benefits you all the way around, including if you're investigated.
Yes, this is actually a very important point, because now the government is checking more and more of the companies. It doesn't matter if they're foreign or Chinese companies. And when you have Chinese SOE, ISP, so internet service provider or phone provider or internet provider like China Telecom, Unicom, Mobile, what happens is that you're using one of the government companies, also because they are the only allowed. And if you ever have issues, you incur you make some mistakes. Let's say this: what will happen is that the regulators will reach out to the three players, because they are the ones providing you the solution to access to global networks. And they will ask them what kind of network they have implemented, because they have to answer. They will ask them what kind of protections have been applied and how the data are being transferred. Of course, unless you have created dedicated VPNs within the company, dedicated special connectivity. And then these players can act for a bit as a buffer for you as a customer, as a company, whether you're a small company, medium company, or a Fortune 500, because they can actually discuss with you what are the best solutions to go towards the government entity requirements, become more compliant, and show an attitude of a can-do or willing to look for a solution. And this is actually, if you allow me to add one point, the government here in China is, as I mentioned before, is looking for the protection of the users' data, is looking for the protection of the Chinese employees, wants the companies to invest more. But they are aware that to be fully compliant, it's very complicated. So if you as an entity operating China go against these requirements hard-headed, you will have some issues. But if you prove that you are willing to solve the fallacies of your system, or if you demonstrate you're actually taking steps to mitigate and to become more and more compliant, so you have a process in place. So first of all, you're aware of your weaknesses. You have prove that you have taken steps to find providers, suppliers who can help you to mitigate them. And you have a plan in place, and you are actually executing the plan, even though you are the first steps. This will help you to mitigate and will show display the local regulators that you are actually willing to improve. And they will, of course, they will not be extremely happy, but they will be more lenient towards you. So I strongly recommend the companies to at least have a plan in place and take certain steps.
And I think that's, it's funny, I see that. So I work with clients on China CCC certification, FDA certification. I'm a CPA, you know, I work on employment regulation and a variety of other things. And one thing I always say to people is there's a difference between tax planning and tax fraud. So the idea is, okay, we know we're trying. We know what the regulations are. We want to meet the regulations. If we haven't met them, it's out of mistake or error, not intention.
Yes.
That's okay. And they'll work with you versus we've intentionally, we either haven't bothered to look at the regulations or we know the regulations and we've intentionally tried to avoid them. And so that's the same mentality that you're talking about with how the Chinese government looks at these VPN services. Okay, let's look at something else here quickly. So we've talked about some of the mistakes that we've seen people make over the years. Can you give us an example or two of where foreign companies that have either partners in China, you talked briefly about suppliers and sharing data with suppliers. So let's say your company doesn't have an entity in China, but you have a lot of suppliers in China that you're sharing data with. What are some of the mistakes that you've seen and what should companies be thinking about so they don't make those mistakes?
When it comes down to this, the easiest advice and I would say the stupid mistake a lot of companies I see committing is they don't reach out to vendors that have information, knowledge, and experience in China. I see, unfortunately, on LinkedIn or other websites, a lot of people claiming to be experts about China, but they do not have experience in China. They do not have teams, partners, suppliers, vendors who they can communicate on a daily basis, at least, and they keep updated and they know what is the latest applications of the rules in China. Because reading the rules, it's easy. You can get a translation, that's fine, but you need to see how it's being applied. So the silliest mistake I see is companies that do not have entities here, but they need to make business here. They reach out to suppliers who do not, professional vendors, because the professional vendors, professional services like IT, accounting, HR, and so on, no one cares until things go south, very much south.
So what's an example? Give us an example of a company that ran into trouble with that and how they could have avoided it. You don't need to name the company, right? Just the situation.
Small entity, 25 employees in Shanghai, 50 employees in Shenzhen, but both entities are run separately. They basically do not belong to the same network. There are one network in Shenzhen, one in Shanghai. They belong to a medium-sized 700 to 900 million revenues euro. So it's a European company. And then this company was transferring all their data between the entities, Shanghai to Europe, Shenzhen to Europe. They had no employee had signed any agreement to pass the information between to first accept their information will be taken and transferred outside of China. Second, no employee was trained on how to be to protect their data. Three, there was no vendor with operations in China involved in this process. What they said is that the vendor outside of China reached out here to some vendors and they said, hey, we would like to have some information. Can you please redirect us to where we can read more? But they did not get, they did not even get professional, legally binding advice on how to be compliant on transferring the data between these two entities to the global entity. So this was an example of a third-party vendor, an ERP company, who was transferring the, unfortunately, is still transferring data between these two entities in China to the global entity without being compliant on, they are not compliant on any ground whatsoever.
What about one of the other things I think people worry about is the security of product files for intellectual property. So let's say that you give your supplier access to your shared drive in England or the US or Spain that has all of your engineering files, because they need to see the changes that are happening constantly. So you want them to see the shared files that are housed overseas. How could you mitigate that they aren't accessing that information after they're not a supplier anymore, or after they've left the company, or because there's a lot of risk in that too.
Did I mention audit before? So some of these companies, they get audited by their legal suppliers, and they will make sure that all the contracts do not hold any legal binding point between the previous vendor and the company. They will make sure that all the global entity that was using this vendor is not connected or doesn't have any VPN or any kind of transfer or any exchange of information whatsoever. Then the other point will be like to actually review the contracts. Because a lot of times they do not review the contracts and then they have surprises. But again, I'm not a legal advisor here. I don't want to go too much step into that. But from an IT perspective, they do not check if the supplier still has access, whether it's the famous backdoor or simply called VPNs. They do not have an admin to the to virtual machines that have been built for them. They do not have access to the information in the file share or in the file server. Do not share the same software solutions. Do not have admin to the software solutions that they are using. So it is a painful process, but I do not see that being carried out properly by medium-sized companies, global medium-sized companies with operations in China, because they are like, oh, we have a small entity in China, it doesn't matter, until it matters.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Companies, one of the mechanisms to secure your data is constantly reviewing who has access to it. And I think it's just too easy to think we've eliminated that supplier and we're not actively sharing information with them anymore. But you're not thinking about the fact that maybe one of your employees gave them a password and login to the information, and it hasn't been eliminated. So definitely it needs to be reviewed. Well, I want to wrap this up before we go too long. So thank you, because we could talk forever on this topic, I'm sure. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Kimberly, for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, you too. And listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this session, and we look forward to having you listen to either some of our prior sessions. Irvis mentioned one that we did with Art Dicker, who's a lawyer in Shanghai and a friend of both of ours, obviously, that was really good information, and I encourage you to listen to that too. So thank you all very much, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for joining us today. We know you learned some valuable information about how to manage and protect data. Be sure to subscribe to receive notices about future episodes, and also make sure to visit our website, www.intltraderesources.com.